Oh no. Meryl?
Good morning.
Hi,
Good morning.
Hannah. Good, how are you? Happy New Year.
Oh, yes. Happy New Year. I'm still in Hanukkah. I haven't come down from that yet. I'm putting the stuff away. So.
I know. It's a very filled time of year.
Well, my grandson didn't get to come, and I'm not sure if he's going to bring his girlfriend, so I'm keeping two napkins, two, you know, a few little things. And then the great-grandchildren, they like to play dreidel when they come, no matter what time of the year it is, so I have to keep a few little things out anyway. So,
really?
Anyway.
Oh, that's lovely, no matter what time of year it is.
Yeah. Well, one was adopted, and so the first time she came to our house, it was Hanukkah time. Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
And because she thought it was Hanukkah, you know, we played Hanukkah games, so every time she comes, she thinks she's supposed to play.
She asked for it, so...
I'm not going to say no. So.
That's pretty lovely.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
We'll be starting in about 1 minute.
It's good morning, somewhere.
It's always good morning. And even if it's good night, it's still good morning.
California must be good morning.
Correct.
Boker too.
Boker or?
Light of morning?
Yes. In Israel, in the Hebrew, if someone says to you, Boker Tov, translation, good morning,
right.
The response is Boker Or,
oh.
Morning light. It's a Kabbalistic concept of what is morning, direct light. What is morning light is the returning light. When the light comes down, this is a very deep Kabbalistic concept. So I'm going to try and do it short in a very short way, and it probably will be a little confusing. When the light comes down, it goes through the 10 sephirot. But as it leaves each sephirah, it doesn't complete it. It doesn't go through all the parts. So there's still a portion of each sephirah that has remained dark. But when you push away the light, you want a piece of blueberry pie. You love blueberry pie. There's light in the blueberry pie for you. That's why you love it. When you push it away, you return the light back up, and all those dark portions are illuminated. It completes the creation of the spark of light in the blueberry pie. That's when you will find that you'll be able to take the blueberry pie and really receive true pleasure, eternal pleasure. When you just take direct light, it's called judgment. Direct light without the returning light direct light without the light of chasadim, the light of mercy, creates judgment. And most of us run from judgment because we can't face the truth of all the sins that we do, all the mistakes we make.
Anoka, I have a question.
Go ahead, Hannah. Happy secular year.
Yes, to you too.
Thank you.
If you derive pleasure from the blueberries or whatever that you're eating or whatever you're doing, but especially in the food, would you also receive more of the nutrient value?
Both on the physical and the spiritual nutrients.
Okay, good.
That makes sense to you, I know?
Yes, it does.
So, L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu V'yakta L'shem Yudhei Bavavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhinu Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kenenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kenenehu. I've promised a discussion or teaching about dream interpretation. So, is that what everybody wants to hear today?
Yes.
The overall impression is, why not?
I have weird dreams. I wonder where they arrive from.
Well,
dreams are always weird. Weird.
Actually, they're not. They're really very clear.
Not to me.
That's because you remember the dream, but not the interpretation. In every dream, you are given the interpretation.
A messenger gives you something. A messenger sends you something.
And as the Zohar is quoted over and over again throughout the writings of the sages, a dream that is not interpreted is a message from Hashem, is like a letter that you didn't open. The question is asked in the Zohar. So, somebody had a dream, they didn't interpret it. Does the dream still happen? Now, even the question, why would we ask a question like that? Why would you ask if the dream's going to happen if you haven't interpreted it?
Are you talking about a dream you have had or you're about to have?
It's always a dream you have had.
Okay.
So you don't know the dreams you're about to have.
I was getting confused with the tense issue.
Okay. I understand the confusion. The question I'm asking is, if you have a dream, you do not interpret it, does that dream still manifest in your life? The answer in the Zohar is yes, but you don't know it because you didn't interpret it. Are they sending you a dream for you to interpret it and then change it so it doesn't happen?
Possibly.
More than possibly. We read in the Torah a number of very distinct prophecies. Most of it is in the Book of Prophets, but it's also in the Talmud, it's in the Zohar, it's in prophecies in the Torah itself, in the five books. All of these prophecies, do they have to happen?
No.
Do they have to happen?
Hannah knows the answer, and she added, she gave us the answer. Did you hear it?
No.
I need to mute. I thought I was muted. I'm sorry. Let me mute.
Well, thank you for the answer. That's why you didn't mute. The answer that she gave is no. A prophecy that is quote unquote negative does not have to happen. Now let's discuss positive and negative in a dream. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? Or is the glass half? What is the fact?
Half.
Half is the fact. We could use numbers and say it's an 8 ounces of water. The glass is 8 ounces, and there's only 4 ounces in the glass. So it's exactly half. That's a fact. Is it half empty or half good? What's that?
Well,
it's half full or it's half empty. Well, which is it? How can it be both?
It's half empty and half it is.
It's Schrodinger's glass.
He's referring to a famous physics experiment of a cat who is in a box that you cannot see, and the cat dies, but you don't know that it's dead. So is it dead or is it alive? That's paraphrasing the experiment.
You don't know until you see. So you open up the box.
You don't know. So.
But until you open the box, according to the theory, is that the cat is both alive and dead at the same time.
So let's go back to the half full glass and the half empty glass. And the question is, can it be both, as the theory expresses? And the answer is no. We live in a very discrete universe. Discrete means it either is or it is not. There's no in between. There's no gray ever in the universe. I know or I don't know. But when I say I believe, that's the experiment. That's the Schrodinger's box. If I don't know, I don't know. If I know, I know. But I'm not sure. That's gray. The half full glass comes from my opinion, my perception. I see it as half full. And for me, the truth is it's half full. Another person will see it as half empty, and that's his or her opinion.
But if you say a glass of water is 8 ounces, and it's 4 ounces, it's a fact.
The fact is it's 4 ounces of water.
Yes.
Doesn't say that it's good or bad. Doesn't say it's half full or half empty.
I'm an 8 ounce glass. It's a fact that it's half full or half empty, either way.
Yes. But can you hold that same perception at the same moment? Can you see it as both? What are you doing when you say it can be both? You're not making a decision. You're not evaluating the fact. What is the statement "it's half full" mean? Means I perceive positivity. The fact is it's 4 ounces out of 8 ounces. But it's not 4 ounces out of 8 ounces, it's 4 ounces. It's not 4 ounces out of, what, the other half of the glass isn't there. If it's not full, if it's not, doesn't have something it's holding, what is its purpose? Therefore it doesn't exist. Oh, but I see it's an 8 ounce glass. It was created to hold 8 ounces. But if it's not holding 8 ounces, it's lost its purpose. If it's holding 4 ounces,
it's a 12 ounce bag, and it's 4 ounces of water. That's empty. Is that half full?
It's an argument that cannot be won because it's your perception. You're right, and I'm right. Can we both be right at the same time?
It might be the weather. They'll say it's half cloudy, it's partially cloudy, partially sunny.
Which is it? It depends on which I'm standing under. I don't see the clouds, therefore it's sunny. I see the clouds, it's partially cloudy. There's opinion being expressed when you make a value judgment. It's an interpretation, for lack of a better word. Getting back to the dreams. The dreams exist? Yes, we all dream. Every night we dream. But there are three aspects of the night. The way the Talmud describes it. They each have names, but it's basically before midnight, the first 3 to 4 hours after midnight, and then the next 3 to 4 hours until sunrise. Those three periods is a atmosphere that dreams are funneled through. If you have a dream in the last 3 to 4 hours, just before sunrise, and understand the statement about just before sunrise is really just before you wake up and start your day. Any dream in that period is coming from your body. It's coming from your fears, your hopes, your anticipations, however you want to describe those dreams. Don't bother to interpret them because they're not prophetic dreams. They're not telling you what's going to happen to you. They're expressing your hopes. They're expressing your fears. Well, if it's expressing a fear, why even bother? Overcome the fear. If you don't know what's going to happen, let it go. Can you change it? If you have the half-full perception, if you have an optimistic perception, those body fears will never manifest. If you have a pessimistic perception, are you going to be able to stop those dreams from happening? You've already said the world is gray. You've already said the world isn't perfect. You've already said the world is half empty for you at that moment. You can change the moment. You can change your perception. The choices we make based on the facts are what's important. Choose to see the good in everything. Choose to see the good in the people around you.
I thought you only dream in REM.
And when do you have REM? First off, REM is a scientific term that means rapid eye movement. So somebody outside of you has noticed that certain stages of sleep, your eyes seem to move more rapidly. Therefore, you're dreaming. How do they know? Do they wake you up and ask you what you were thinking? No. Does it only come in REM? Perhaps it does. I'm not doubting the science. I haven't heard it or read it in the sages of the Talmud or the, I can't really say in this lifetime the Talmud, but I haven't read it in the Zohar. Does it mean that the science is wrong? No, it doesn't. It means I don't know. I've heard that you only dream in REM. But I also read that you have REM throughout the 4 hours of sleep. You go through cycles in your sleep. One part of that cycle is called REM. Maybe that's the only time you dream. A dream doesn't last hours. A dream is a minute, a half a minute, seconds at a time. You have very huge dreams where you see all kinds of details, and it feels like it's 100 years long. But it was 30 seconds or less. Interpreting the dream is important, because if you don't interpret it, you have a letter, and you never open the letter. You just laid it on the desk and never looked at it. If that letter is coming just before you wake up in those last 3 to 4 hours of sleep, better to leave it on the desk. That's my opinion, as I've done a lot of dream interpretations through my students. And the first question I asked is, what time of night was this dream? Most people don't really know when they dream it. They wake up in the morning and they think it was in the middle of the night. That's why it's always good to have a dream notebook by your bed. Wake up and write the notes. And if you can't read your writing in the morning, it's okay. That's very normal, because you're still half asleep when you're writing. But know that within your dream, you're going to be given the interpretation. And we know this from the reading of the within the Bible. I'm reading from the Parasha of Vayeshev.
Joseph.
I'm looking at chapter 37, starting with verse 5.
Subject to title with the Parasha.
We are taught to live with the times. What does that statement mean? To live with the times. Every week, the first day of the week and the seventh day of the week, we have these 7 days of the week. Every week we have a different parasha, a different portion of the Torah. We can learn from that portion what is the times. When was Vayeshev read? This week is Vayigash. Last week was Miketz. The portion before Miketz is Vayeshev. We're in the time, within the times. We're living within the times. We study the portion associated with this week or a few weeks before. Verse 5, chapter 37. Joseph dreamt a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Before he tells them the dream, the Torah is telling us not to tell your brothers. Why not tell your brothers? Brothers don't like him. So what? And this is the critical point. There's a story in the Talmud, and I'm going to tell it to you just as it's read. and you're going to say to yourself, that can't be true. In Jerusalem, at the time of the writing of the Talmud, there were 24 dream interpreters. These were people who made their living interpreting dreams. You went to them, you paid them a fee, you told them your dream, and they gave you the interpretation. One of the sages who's written up in the Talmud and telling this story, this particular story, he went to all 24 professional dream interpreters that lived in Jerusalem. And he told each of them the same dream. And each of them interpreted it differently. So which one came true?
All
of them came true. All 24 interpretations came true. Which means what? A dream follows its interpretation. I had a personal experience. One of the tools that is available to the to everybody, but primarily in the Kabbalistic minyans, you have a bad dream, whatever that means. You go to a Bet Din. A Bet Din.
Oh, Bet Din.
A Bet Din is the name, it's Hebrew for a court. And it consists of three men, or three, depending on your definition of a minyan, there are three people. They hear your dream, and if they agree that it is a negative dream, they banish it. It cannot happen. They override the dream. Can people override spiritual dreams? Can people override what the angels have said?
No.
Yes, they can. But just not by themselves. They need a court. They need a Bet Din. What happens when you die? Do you get your final judgment? Do you go before a court? Is it a physical court? It's not a physical court. It's a spiritual court. Who sits on that court?
God.
You think he's going to have the time to talk about my lowly efforts of what I did in my life? You think God sits on my court? Who's the representatives? Who does God appoint to sit on his court?
The angels.
The angels can't sit on, they can't judge me. They never walked as a human being.
So it's people who have already died and are being born as a big part of the court.
People who have died or righteous people who are still living, serving, they have a task to do in the physical world, but at night they can sit on that court. That court is made up of human beings who have lived as a human being and understand what it means to be a human being. They are the ones who judge it for your final judgment. A court din, a bet din, you can go and have a dream overturned. So what I did, I had a bad dream. At least I thought it was a bad dream. And I went to a Kabbalistic minyan because I was studying Kabbalah. And these were people who were students of Kabbalah. They had been trained specifically by a Kabbalist, Rabbi Berg. And if somebody came to them and said, I had a bad dream, please sit in the court, they did. And so they listened to the dream and they said, It's null and void. And it's a very formulistic process. There's certain words that have to be said and so forth. It took place. The dream wasn't there. The dream was that I had been driving and I ran over a person and they died, and I got out of the car and saw that I had killed this person. That to me is a very negative dream. I don't want to go through life having killed somebody. So I went to the Beit Din. They annulled the dream. About 6 months later, it's faded now, but this is like 40 years ago, I stabbed myself with a pencil and broke off the head of the pencil, and I have a dark spot in that place. But at that moment, when I felt the pain, you stick yourself with a pencil from time to time. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's not real painful. This was excruciating. And at that moment, the thought occurred, this is the end of that dream that you had before. Now, you can accept it as a story, but for me, it's very clear. Going to a Beit Din and having a dream overridden or annulled works. But it has to be done with people who are students of Kabbalah, because without it, the people who are saying the formulistic words aren't injecting the proper consciousness into those words. And therefore, the dream would not be overridden.
It's fascinating. Gave story about a car. Many decades I dreamt of. I never drove a car, and I don't act. I'm rolling the passenger. I'm riding in the car, and I want to stop, and I don't have to stop it. And all of a sudden, I wake up and end up. But what message? I should learn how to stop a car. It still reminds many decades ago.
And it's still you're still holding on to it.
I still remember all the dreams I dreamt.
That's still there because you know it's a prophetic dream, but you don't know what's the prophecy. You don't know what the message is. And so I'll be happy to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I don't want to interpret it and put it on the tape because this is for your dream. So we'll have a private session. But what colors do you remember in that dream?
No colors.
No colors? Was it gray?
Colors didn't matter. I mean, I was driving.
The colors matter greatly.
I don't remember.
Do you remember if it was early in the morning or it was the middle of the night? The fact that you're remembering it all these years is an indication that it was in the middle of the night. Shalom, Rabbi.
Shalom. It's fine.
No, but I have to ask your permission to continue because we are talking about dream interpretation.
Dream interpretation, great.
That's Jewish history, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But we will have a session because it's your message. The way dreams are interpreted, I was relating the story in the Talmud about the 24 dream interpreters in Jerusalem who heard the same dream and interpreted it differently, and all 24 interpretations came true.
Oh.
And we learn from this that the way a dream is interpreted is the way it will manifest.
It's a responsibility.
It is a great responsibility. But more importantly, never tell a dream to somebody who doesn't love you. Why? Because you're thinking, I want to know the truth of this dream. But you don't know how the other person feels. What are their unconscious motivations? Are they searching for truth? And do you really want to know the truth for this dream interpretation? Or do you want to have a good interpretation? And that's the way the dream will manifest.
How does the dream manifest?
It comes true. It comes about in your physical life. Manifestation means to bring into the physical world some concept or consciousness that is
so
spiritual.
So that person you killed in your dream was dead? You actually killed them?
In my dream, I killed them. But since it was annulled, they never died. But what I needed to suffer the consequences of having killed someone, that was the tikkun that I needed to go through. And that manifested by my sticking myself with the pencil.
But the Talmud does say that we might see something one way in a dream and actually it be something that is a great reward.
Absolutely. That's why you need someone who loves you to see it that way.
So, you could see you do something seemingly abhorrent or inappropriate, but it can be a sign for a reward in the world to come. So it's almost the flip side of it, you know.
As the Talmud tells us, King David slept no more than 30 minutes, roughly. A horse's breath is the way it's described. Roughly 30 minutes every night. He never slept longer than that. And his dreams, he never had a positive dream in all of his life. Why would he have negative dreams? Because it's easier to have a tikkun in the spiritual level of a dream than to experience it in the physical world. I'm continuing to read chapter 37. We read verse 5, and I was just explaining about you don't tell the dream to someone who does not love you. Because you're looking for a positive interpretation that is truthful. The sixth verse. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You've heard that dream before. You've read that section before. There are two dreams, but most people think that they are the same interpretation, right? What is the interpretation that his brothers said that manifested? What is the interpretation his father said that manifested? It's phrased as a question, isn't it? Do you think you're going to rule over us? How come he did rule over them? The dream manifested the way they interpreted it. But what is another meaning for the dream? It's a question I won't answer, but each of us can answer it. If someone came to you with that dream, someone you loved, how would you interpret it?
someone you love, and the only interpretation that you can think of is negative, you just keep your mouth shut?
If the only thing you can interpret is negative, then you lie and tell them it's another thing. You don't lie. Does God lie?
No.
Oh, really? What did he say to Sarah in the tents? What did he say to Abraham when Sarah laughed in the tents, which is what the actual words are? He said that Sarah laughed, but Sarah wasn't laughing at. He did not tell the complete truth. Sarah laughed, but Sarah was laughing, thinking that it was her husband of 90 years old, or 100 years old, 99, who, how's he going to be able to get it up, was the phrase that I was taught. I'm not sure that's the phrase that was in the Talmud. I'm sure it was in a different way. But that was the interpretation.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You could say, this difference between ruling and guiding.
Very well said.
And the fact was that even the whole purpose of Yosef wearing Tonet Pasim was the purpose of him being a guide and a teacher. They could easily have said, will you be our teacher, our guide, not our ruler? I think that was part of the...
Very nice. There's always a way to interpret positivity. If you're seeing the world through the pessimist's eyes, it's a lot harder to see positivity. If you're seeing the world through an optimist's eyes, you're going to be able to see negativity. You're going to not be able to see negativity. You're only going to see positivity. There's a story about one of the sages in the Hasidic movement. They called him the Ohev Yisrael, the lover of Israel. He could only see positivity in Jewish people. So he was walking to the synagogue one morning on a Shabbat, and he saw a wagon driver wearing tefillin, praying, but he's got a loaded wagon. How would you interpret that? He's wearing tefillin on Shabbat. We don't do that. He's working on Shabbat. We don't do that. How do you interpret it? So he said, Master of the universe, see how your children love you. They do all of your mitzvot as much as they can. Now, I'm paraphrasing the story in the words because I don't remember it exactly. But you can always find a way to interpret a dream positively. It's not that you're lying. It's not even that you're shading the truth. Find in your heart that spark of love for that person, and you'll find the positive aspect of the dream.
Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbat?
Because it interferes with the frequency. Now that's an expression in modern terms. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbat, some would say, because that's what the sages told us to do. Another reason is the essence of the tefillin is to draw an energy of chesed, of loving kindness. You wear it to draw that spark of light to you. Some say to activate a nerve called the vagus nerve, which controls your digestion, controls your heart and your lungs. On Shabbat, there's no need to draw that energy because that energy is Shabbat. It's there for us. We're already receiving it because we're in Shabbat. That's why we don't wear tefillin. Would you care to give a...
Well,
I think the way the tradition refers to it, and they say that Tehillim is an oath, which is a sign, and Shabbat is a sign. The question of that you're talking about is, what does it mean that it's a sign? There's an energy leadership. That Shabbat in itself is a sign for the world and for ourselves of God's presence in the world. It's more manifested when it happens on Shabbat. If we're in touch with that, we will know that special sign. There's no need for an additional sign. It's important for us to realize that. During the week, when things are more complicated, things we're sort of busy in our lives, we sometimes need an external sign to remind ourselves of the importance of God's presence in the world. That speaks to me.
Thank you. Let's go to another dream, the dream of
Jacob.
No, I don't want to go there. That's about 14 hours onto it. He's talking about the ladder.
Yeah.
No, I want to go to Pharaoh's dream. But before Pharaoh's dream, Joseph interpreted the baker and the wine steward. They both had quote-unquote similar dreams. Again, and he interpreted them very relatively differently. He said one would live and the other would die.
Came higher. So it was.
Why didn't he interpret the baker to live? We don't really know. The Zohar doesn't give an explanation for that I'm aware of. But I've asked the question, why didn't he interpret it positively?
Depends on what each one of them did. How did they have a problem?
Would Joseph put himself in the place of a judge?
He would answer it.
The answer is, what does Joseph represent? He represents the Sephirah of Yesod. He's called Joseph HaSadiq. Righteousness is Yesod. Yesod is sexual energy. Yesod is creativity. Yesod is creation.
What word are you saying? Sod?
Yesod. Y-E-S-O-D in English. It is the consciousness of the sexual genitalia, as an example. Joseph is a channel for Yesod. But what is Yesod? What is the purpose of this Sephirah? If you look at the Tree of Life, the chart with the 10 circles, you're familiar with it. You will never see a line except to Malchut, to the physical world, except from Yesod. Up to. There's no up.
Isn't there a parallel to Yesod on the side? Is Yesod straight in the middle? I'm trying to remember the Tree of Life.
It's usually described as being straight underneath Yesod. Malchut is straight underneath Yesod. To the side and slightly above, it's displayed as Netzach and Hod.
Okay.
And there's no line to Malchut from Netzach and Hod. They only go to Yesod.
Oh, that's what I was looking.
Okay. Now, there is a tree that is drawn where the lines do go. And that is the line. That is the Kabbalistic system of the Gaon de Vilna.
Okay. Go ahead.
The what is Yesod? It is the funnel, the channel, the pipe from the spiritual world into the physical world, and it is the pipe upwards of your prayers, your hopes, your dreams, your positivity, God forbid your curses, are funneled up through Yesod. Yesod does not create a judgment, ever. What is in Yesod is all of the judgments and all of the mercy, all of the loving kindness. All of them are there. It's described as the five chasadim and the five gevurot. They're all there. They're all flowing into the physical world. They're all going up and down from humans up, from the spiritual down to the physical. That is what Joseph represents. So for him to make a judgment does not make sense. The rabbi looks confused.
No, I'm not confused. I mean, I think the question is that, I mean, you're asking a question. Your question is, well, why did Joseph interpret it that way? So then you say, well, it's impossible for him to make a decision, but he's making an interpretation.
No, I'm saying he did not make a judgment.
Right. So
he was channeling.
Right. So. Right.
Information from a higher level.
Okay, so two things. Number one, it's very possible that Joseph understood that his interpretations was not eternal interpretations. He says all the time, God is the interpreter of dreams. Every dream that he interprets,
he always says God is the interpreter.
So therefore, you have to say, because remember, Joseph's dreams were interpreted by the brothers. According to what you're saying, I'm sort of trying to say with what you're saying is that Joseph just stated what the dreams were, and therefore God had told him that interpretation. Joseph is outside of the framework of his interpretations or internal interpretations. That's why Paro was able to say this is from God, because he also interpreted, as you'll say,
right,
seven bad years.
I haven't gotten to that.
I know, but what I'm pointing out is...
I understand where you're going.
I'm saying that that's perhaps, which is agreeing to what you're saying.
But what when we say God in English, what word are we...
Elohim. Elohim, he says, the Elohim. He always uses the term Elohim when he says, Elohim, I'm not my own person.
You sure it's not Elohim Hashem?
No. You have to look. Look what he
says. When I get there, I will.
No, but it's not Elohim Hashem.
No.
I don't think so. I think he says it the way it is. Elohim.
No, you're what you're expressing is well thought. Right? The real essence, the question that I'm asking is, why did he interpret it? I don't have an answer for it. I'm troubled by the question. Why did he interpret? The rabbi has given an explanation that I need to think about. The question is, what do we do with dream interpreters? Always interpret positively. Because there is a consequence to interpreting a dream negatively. As the rabbi said when he sat down, it's a great responsibility. But a dream needs to be interpreted. Otherwise, why did they send it to you?
Right.
Almost out of time, and we will continue this next Wednesday as we look at the Pharaoh's dream. But I will ask you the question now, and I can do it, give you a quick answer. You all know Pharaoh's dream of the seven cows, seven fat cows, seven lean cows, followed by seven sheaves that are really good looking and seven sheaves that are not. And he asked all of his interpreters, all of his wise men, all of his magicians, all of them. He knew he had been given the interpretation, but he couldn't understand it. What is it he couldn't understand? The way the Torah is written, it says that there were seven fat cows, followed by seven lean cows, and they were all standing on the bank. What couldn't he understand is how the fat and the lean can be in together. Because spiritually, if love and hate are next to each other on the circle of emotions, hate is not opposite of love. Indifference is opposite of love. Hate is next to love. But how can you have them together? They can't be together. Spiritually, they're opposites. Not opposites in the sense of on the circle, but they're different. And at being different, that's what creates separation. Love is different than hate. That's spiritually what creates separation. Pharaoh knows that spiritual truth. He's now looking at a dream where he sees seven fat cows and seven lean cows on the bank. How can they be together on the bank? They're different. We'll talk about it next week.
It's exciting. With a cliffhanger.
Does it happen every week? No. Are there any other questions on the conference call? You all have a beautiful, happy, secular year filled with health, happiness, joy, prosperity, and any other desire of that should be fulfilled, including Mashiach tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Shalom to all. Shalom. Shalom gadol.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.